Farmer Program, and we do have Chad Hansen with us on our KGLO live line. I'm going to call him Mr. Snowman today, Chad.
Yeah, I know it. It looks a little different out there, that's for sure. I know we had a little bit of it last week, and it was plenty slick. Fortunately, this time around, it kind of been a little wet so far, so it hasn't gotten too bad as far as motoring around on the streets and stuff. But I don't know. This stuff's probably going to be around for a little while, I would have to imagine. It doesn't look like anything's warming up enough to melt very much here in the next week or 10 days.
No, I know. The forecast, as this week goes along, it starts out cold, brings us snow, and then gets colder. You know, winter time with an early arrival this year.
Yeah, it is. It's that time of the year, and, you know, what else do we got to do, I guess, but stay inside and maybe work on some bookkeeping. That's what we're trying to encourage our clients to get to work on at this point, so we can start to make some of those year-end plans.
I'll bet that's been met with some excitement, too, hasn't it?
Oh, always, you know, especially for those that have kind of waited till this time of the year to really get after it. Maybe they've kind of slacked a little bit through harvest, or maybe even those that tend to wait until this time to get very serious at all. And so not something, yeah, like you said, that they generally look forward to, but, you know, important time of the year, and a lot of decisions need to be made, whether it's tax planning and, you know, next year is going to be around the corner here pretty quick, and it's time to start thinking about maybe break down a corn and soybeans, different farms, what that rotation is going to look like, and, you know, that kind of parlays into some of those decisions that will need to be made pretty soon with seed and fertilizer, chemicals, crop insurance, and getting things signed up for this coming year with some of the farm programs. So fortunately, you know, not a lot of changing going on. You know, we've had those elections like we talked about last week, and looks like pretty close to the status quo, whether you like that or not. I think, you know, the benefit of it is that we probably won't see anything significant as far as when it comes to, you know, different laws and regulations, but most importantly for us on the tax front, probably a lot of status quo that way. Definitely for this year, and more than likely going forward for the next couple years.
I think, you know, you're talking about your farmers that you work with, you know, get going on some of the paperwork and books and so forth and try to nail that down. And, yeah, I think the idea, if they can get it all taken care of, then they don't have to worry about it through the holidays. That would be one thing I'd want off my plate if I were
there. Yeah, there's enough things going on, definitely, with the holidays. And this time of the year really seems to just fly by. I know looking at my schedule, been pretty hectic with getting in some continuing ed. Typically, this is the time of the year when Iowa State and some of the state schools put on their farm tax schools, because, you know, realistically, this late in the year, like I said, most of the tax law changes have already taken effect or have already been passed, and so it's easy for them to kind of do an update and review, you know, some of those things for all of us out here. So that's something that takes up a little bit of time as everybody tries to get those hours in before the close of the year. And then, like you said, with the holidays kind of cutting into some of these weeks with Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and all the other holidays kind of mixed in there in between. So, you know, it does seem to go very quickly, and that's why, you know, we try and stress to our clients that it's important to get, you know, on the calendar and to get organized and to get those things done so that you're not scrambling that last week or so of the year to maybe make some purchases or run down maybe a dealer or something in order to get a check out for some expenses here before the close of the year. So best to get on it now. We've got, what, maybe 6-7 weeks at this point in time left in the year, and you know, make the plans and then execute those plans, and that way you can enjoy some of the holiday time with family and friends.
Yeah, I just think to knock the stress off too. I mean, we don't need the extra stress, that's for sure. Well, and I think we just lost Chad, and I think we do have Chad Hansen back with us. We lost you for a second, Chad.
We'll blame it on the weather, right? I don't know what kind of happened there, but it happens once in a while, and so. Yeah, so we were talking about kind of end of the year things and stuff, and one you know, item that we've kind of been on our clients a little bit with is you know, on kind of the depreciation front. We always talk about, you know, kind of those options and equipment and things, but you know, a big thing has been with the bonus depreciation as part of some of the Trump tax Republican, you know, cuts here a few years ago. There was an extension of the bonus depreciation, made it 100%, and it included things that were used and not just new, that typically had been new items as kind of a stimulus coming out of back, 9/11 and some of those times when they were trying to prop the economy up. And then, like I said, during that kind of COVID time and things, we kind of saw that kind of parlayed into some of the used items. And a big area where on the farming side it's become important has been with, like, buildings and longer depreciable items to be able to write those types of things all off in a year's time. And, you know, that's one of those deals where, you know, you kind of got to plan ahead. You don't just throw a building up in a, you know, week or two's time. It's not like going by the dealership and picking out a tractor. You know, you kind of got to make those plans and get on somebody's schedule and get that stuff ordered. Well, you know, with that kind of starting to sunset and going down to 80% in 2023 as part of those tax laws that were passed several years ago, you know, we said if you want to take full advantage of it, you need to get it in here to 2022. And you know, there is a little bit of chatter now that as we approach 2023 that maybe Congress will look at extending that. One of the most likely scenarios I think that's out there right now would be to push it back to 100% through likely, you know, 2025. And that way we'd have a couple more years under kind of the same types of rules. And then, you know, at that point in time, it was scheduled to drop back to nothing. And so, you know, in all likelihood, that would give Congress the option at that point in time to kind of throw it in with some of the extenders that they typically do every year to kind of, you know, renew those things that have been on the books and people, I guess, come to expect. And then that way we would probably have a little bit more status quo, since again it's something that once you kind of give it to somebody, it's unfortunately not so easy to take it away. So that's one of those things that's been talked about at least, and we'll see where it goes. Obviously nothing written in stone at this point in time, and there'll be a lot of haggling going on there as we kind of get into this lame duck session with the, you know, people that are on their way out of Congress, you know, just kind of enjoying the last few weeks here of their reign, and then the new people kicking off the start of their positions after the first of the year.
Yeah, I can see where that would weigh heavy on a lot of people's minds too, to see if what changes might happen, and if they do or not.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're looking at a situation where the farm economy's still been pretty solid, and, you know, a lot of people kind of thinking about some of those bigger projects, like, you know, maybe a shop or maybe looking at doing something with some grain bins and things. And, you know, without getting into the ins and outs of it, it can get pretty complicated between the Section 179 and this bonus depreciation, and if you're trading a lot of things, what your options may or may not be. So, and then outside of farming, bonus depreciation has been a real popular item for other businesses, and so it is something that is important and could really change some planning options going forward if it wasn't extended. So I think for most of us on this side of the desk, we would like to see that we have that going forward. But, you know, you never know, and that's something that you never just count on. So that would be one item that I guess is being talked about a little bit there in Washington, and we're going to kind of keep our eyes on. Another thing maybe we talk about a little bit from time to time is some of the, opportunities and things that some of the scam artists try and kind of pull on us. And, you know, a real popular thing here more recently has been, kind of sending out some of their emails and making phone calls and things on this ERC, which, I mean, for most people, they're like, what the heck is ERC? Don't have any clue. But what it basically boils down to is that the employee retention credits that were part of the COVID stuff again. And these were, if you kind of think back to PPP and some of those acronyms that we maybe have in the back of our minds and have wanted to move on from, this ERC is still kind of out there because there's an opportunity to go back and amend payroll filings and get some money back on there. And so, you know, with that, some of these bad guys have looked at it as an opportunity to reach out to some business owners and see if they can talk them into having them get involved in that process. Many of them will say it's free, you know, that they will do it as a percentage of the funds that they help you get in refunds. And, you know, the big thing with it, I think, is making sure, there's businesses that need these and qualify, but there's other ones that are probably not qualified that may try and take advantage of some of the vagueness in some of the rules there. Basically, it's for the employers that had a significant drop-off in their sales, or maybe were fully or partially kind of shut down during COVID. And what it did is allowed them to get credited back for the payroll taxes that they had for their employees that they kept on during that period of time, and especially, you know, in the months and quarters and year after that, as they were trying to kind of get back on their feet. And so, these places kind of probably try and prey on people that think that there's easy, free kind of type of money out there, and kind of encourage you to go ahead and apply. Obviously, they've got nothing to lose, right? They're not the ones that are going to be prosecuted or have to defend some of these things, and you're kind of left on the hook for some of that stuff. I think the other thing that kind of wanted to bring to everybody's attention is the IRS has kind of looked at this as maybe an area that they want to really try and look into further, and have put some of these new auditors that they've hired on that job. And so on the enforcement side, it looks like there's probably roughly going to be in the neighborhood of about 300 new IRS auditors that are specific for this program that are going to be, you know, going through these claims, looking at the paperwork, questioning, the qualifications, and looking for, you know, specifics as to, you know, were you shut down during 2020, or, you know, what is your decline in gross receipts from one calendar year quarter to the next, and do those meet those standards to qualify for that credit? And obviously, you know, if they did, I mean, then you've done nothing wrong. I think, you know, the other side of it is if, you know, you kind of assume that, oh, this is something that they have out there and they're never going to follow up on it. And so I've got nothing to lose, might as well claim it. Yeah, definitely wouldn't be sleeping well at this point in time if I was in that position. So I think it's just something for the businesses out there, quite honestly. We don't have very many clients that that fall under this or have utilized the program, just because in farming in general, you know, the receipts weren't down, and most of those businesses weren't shut down during COVID. As you know, here in the Midwest, we tried to kind of operate as much normal as possible, and then out on the farm didn't have the, you know, rules and regulations that maybe some of the bigger cities had during that shutdown period. So just something out there. And if you do get one of these emails, you know, that probably falls into your spam, I'd just leave it there or delete it and, you know, move on. And if you have questions, I mean, I have had a few clients that have reached out to me, what is this and what do I need to do, and just kind of explain it to them. And after we talked about it a little bit, they've generally said, yeah, that doesn't apply to me. We'll forget it. So, but important thing there on the enforcement side with the IRS for sure.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, because you'd think these new IRS agents would certainly have a focal point that they'd be looking at.
Mm-hmm. And there definitely is. I mean, we still have plenty of them that are kind of going to be focused in the normal programs with the you know, income tax reviews and audits there. You know, that's still a slow process. I mean, we've, again, through some of our continuing ed and talking to some of those contacts that we have within the IRS, you know, it's slow to get those new employees onboarded and trained and prepared to kind of get out there and do the jobs that they've been hired to do. Obviously, a lot of them are pretty green. So, unfortunately, that means that that training process is even longer than what it otherwise would if it was, you know, kind of moving some people around, or if they had more experienced people to help lean on a little bit and train these new employees. So, you know, I think that we've talked in the last few weeks a little bit about, you know, that, because I know it's something that comes up a lot with our clients as far as wondering with all the new auditors that have been hired and everything that's been in the media, you know, whether it's something they need to be concerned about. And, you know, I feel like that it's always something that you want to make sure that you're doing things the right way. We all don't want to pay any more taxes than we absolutely have to. And, you know, with that, I think there's a tendency to maybe kind of push things a little bit from time to time, thinking we won't get caught, no different than, you know, when you're in a hurry and you kind of hit that accelerator a little bit more than what you otherwise would, and just assume that, you know, there's not any of the officers out on the road. But, you know, it's like this time of the year with the holidays, it's a time when enforcement's up, and obviously when it comes to taxes, we're talking about increased enforcement and more people out on the roads looking for people doing something wrong. And so, you know, you just don't want to dangle that red flag or give them any more reasons than you have to kind of look at you or find something there.
Very, very true. Chad, well, it's great to have you on with us again this week on KGLO. Somebody's interested in being a part of the corporate farmer plan and everything you've got to go with it. How do they touch base with you?
Yeah, super easy. Just give us a call, 800-472-6931, or you can always check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.